Well, if you have your Bibles, you want to turn to the book of Luke in chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. And kind of a different book or chapter. It's talking about the destruction of the temple and the signs of the end of times. Now, we're not really going to talk about prophecy so much, but we're going to talk about what Jesus said, and we're going to kind of bounce back and forth in the Old Testament a little bit and kind of take a look at that. So tonight's going to be kind of more, you know, it's just going to be kind of a study type lesson, but there's a lot to get out of this if we want to really focus on why do you think Jesus would just talk about this all of a sudden with the disciples? I mean, this we're talking, you know, 2,000 years ago, and we're talking about things that, just like this today, right? We're still looking for the end, right? We talk about it. People, you know, they write books about it. The end times. People are really big in studies about the end times, and we've been studying Daniel, but not, you know, and you can't study Daniel without thinking about the end times. I mean, the prophecies that are in certain parts of Daniel go along with this as well, you know, and so all these things kind of come together. But what we found when we start studying, like in the book of Daniel, the book of Isaiah, the book of Ezekiel, when we look at the book of Revelation, is what we find is this whole connection. And it's not just looking at Revelation as being, this is the only book that this is in. No, you look at Revelation and you find it in Isaiah, and you find it in Daniel, and you find it in Ezekiel, and you find it in Chronicles, and you find it in, I mean, you start finding it throughout the whole Bible. And that's what I'm talking about. You know, the Bible is connected not just in one specific book. Everything that's said, Jesus talks, all the things that Jesus talks about, he usually is referring to something that they knew about, which was in the first five books, right? Or something in the Old Testament that they've studied. I mean, it's all connected. It amazes me sometimes of the connection. And so when you start really studying, you kind of get these connections, you know, and you go back and forth and you go back and forth. So, you know, in the book of Luke here, you know, it's Luke's account of this, but we find that Jesus is already rode the donkey in, right? He's told all these parables, and he's talked about the suffering that was going to come. He's told his disciples that, you know, there's going to be a time, he refers to these, there's going to be a time where I'm going to be crucified or be, you know, brought up. And he talks about all these things, and I still think they're kind of confused. They just really don't get it quite yet. And, you know, in leading up to this, he's warning them. He says, I'm warning them about teachers of the law. He tells them, who is the son of the... Back in chapter 20, he's talking about whose son is the Messiah. He's teaching them about that. He just goes through all this stuff leading up to this. And then when they get to the temple, don't want to get confused here. He says this. Verse 5. This is what his disciples say. He says, some of his disciples were remarking about how the temple was adorned with beautiful stones and with gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said, you know, sometimes, I want to stop right there for a second, because sometimes that's what draws our attention at first to a lot of things, right? It's things that are beautiful, things that are, you know, sometimes we look at, there was a couple in our church last night. We had a Chrysalis rush here last night they came and I don't know if you guys know what Chrysalis is. Some of you do, but it's a walk to the mass Chrysalis flight, the Chrysalis for the teens. Madison could come up and tell you all about it. She's been on it. There's been kids from this church before in the past that have gone to Chrysalis. It's a really good thing. I've been involved in it for a while, but they wanted to have a rush here, and so a month back they'd ask about it, and so we were able to have it here. And but one of the ladies said, "Boy, you just have such a beautiful church," you know, and that made me feel good, because, you know, I'm proud of our church and what we have. You know, and it does make me feel good. But sometimes we focus on these things, and the disciples were looking at this temple, and they were saying, the disciples were remarking about the temple and how it was adorned and how beautiful it was, and the stones with the gifts dedicated to God. But Jesus said this, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left one another. Every one of them will be thrown down." And they were, you know, they said, "Teacher," they asked, "when will these things happen? And what will be the sign that they are about to take place?" And he replied, "Watch out that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, claiming I am he, and the time is near. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and uprisings, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away." And when we look back in Luke 17:23, if you want to look back to Luke 17:23, it says this. Jesus is speaking again. He says, "People will tell you, 'There he is,' or 'Here he is.' Do not go on running off after them." That's what he says there. He's talking about that there's going to be people come that are going to claim to be the Messiah, and they're not the Messiah. But he says, watch out for those people and don't follow after them, but be careful. You're going to see these people come. Now, he's telling his disciples this like it's going to happen tomorrow, right? Now, we've been hearing that ourselves. We hear and we think about that. We think, well, you know, Jesus promised he would come back someday. He promised these things. The scripture says that we're going to see wars and rumors of wars. Jesus is talking about this, and we're going to go on and read all that. And we've heard all this from the beginning. And we read it, and we should teach it. We act like it's going to happen tomorrow, right? We act like it's going to happen tomorrow. Well, could it happen tomorrow? Absolutely, it could happen tomorrow. But yet this was 2,000 years ago. Is it still relevant today? You know, or have we become... You know, I think people what I'm trying to say is I think people have become relaxed on this thinking. You follow what I'm saying? They're relaxed on the thinking that Jesus could come tomorrow. These events could happen tomorrow. And that's kind of what I'm saying here tonight. He said, watch out that you are not deceived. You know, and then in verse 10 he says, "Then he said to them, 'Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, famine, and pestilence in various places, and fearful events and great signs from heaven.'" Look at 2 Chronicles 15. If you have your Bibles, turn back to 2 Chronicles 15. And in verse 6, I'll give you some time if you're looking. I know I didn't tell Verna any of this, so I'll give her a little time too. It says, "One nation." Now this is back in 2 Chronicles, verse 6. It says, "One nation was being crushed by another, and one city by another, because God was troubling them with every kind of distress. But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded." Now this is something that's going to be repeated here in what we're reading. Look at Isaiah 29 also. Isaiah 29. If you look at Isaiah 29, verse 6 again. Isaiah 29, verse 6. It says, "The Lord Almighty will come with thunder and earthquake and great noise, with windstorm and tempest and flame of devouring fire. There will be hordes of all the nations that fight against Aram." Does that sound familiar? Does it sound familiar? But before, and let's go back to Luke. It says in verse 12. Go back to Luke, verse 12 here. In chapter 21, it says, "But before all this, They will seize you and persecute you. They will hand you over to synagogues and put you in prison. And you will be brought before kings and governors, and all on account of my name. And so you will bear testimony to me, but make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For I will give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. You will be betrayed even by parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. Everyone will hate you because of me, but not a hair of your head will perish. Stand firm, and you will win life. Let's look at Matthew chapter 10 on that note right there. Matthew chapter 10, just a few pages back. Jesus speaking again. Verse 17. Matthew chapter 10, verse 17. It says, "Be on your guard. You will be handed over to the local councils and be flogged in the synagogues. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings and witnesses to them and to the Gentiles. But when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. And at that time you will be given what to say, for it will not be you speaking, but the Spirit of your Father speaking through you." Let's go back to Luke. And that's Matthew's account of this. Verse 20. Let's go on in verse 20. It says, "When you see Jerusalem being surrounded by armies, you will know that it is desolation is near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let those in the city get out, and let those in the country not enter the city. For this is the time of punishment in fulfillment of all that has been written. How dreadful it will be for those days for pregnant women and nursing mothers. For there will be great distress in the land and wrath against people. They will fall by the sword and will be taken as prisoners to all nations. Jerusalem will be trampled on by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled." Isaiah 63 talks about this. If we go back to Isaiah again, of Isaiah 63, verse 18. Isaiah 63, verse 18. I know I'm kind of jumping around here quite a bit, but I think it's good for us to do this. And in verse 18 it says, "For a little while your people possessed your holy place, but now our enemies have trampled down your sanctuary. We are yours from of old, but you have not ruled over them. They have not been called by your name." And also, let's look at Daniel. We could look at Daniel 8:33, and it kind of goes to that as well. We've been kind of studying through Daniel. Let's look at Daniel 8:33. It kind of talks about the same thing here. That's not right. That's not right. There is no 33. What did I write down here? I will skip over that one. Let's just skip over that one. It wasn't very long anyway. It basically just says the same thing again. In verse 25 it says, "There will be signs in the sun, the moon, the stars, and on earth nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will faint from terror, apprehension of what is coming on the world. For the heavenly bodies will be shaken, and at that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. When these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And I want to stop there for a second before we go into this parable. It says, when you see these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. You know, we can look at this and we can look at all kinds of things that's happening in the world today. You don't have to look very far to see wars. You don't have to, you turn the TV on and you can hear about rumors of wars. And you can see it all over. And you can read this and you can just think, this is the world today we live in. This is happening all over the place. The things that ISIS and was doing in Iraq, in the place where, in Iraq is where the old Babylon country is. They were taking any Christian artifacts, anything that they could find that had anything to do with history of the old world and of Christianity. They were destroying it. They were just tearing it up and trying to destroy everything that has to do with the with what we believe. And these things are still happening. And I look at this and I think, man, this just really seems like today. Like it could happen tomorrow. Or it has already happened when you see these things. And so I think that is irrelevant. This is as relevant today as it was 2,000 years ago when Jesus explained this to his disciples. And how urgent it was. He put urgency in this. Like, this is going to happen. And you need to be ready. Because this is going to happen. And I think Jesus tells this theme throughout the whole Bible. From the beginning to the end, it's this theme, this sense of urgency that these things are going to happen. And we have to be ready. That's the second thing that he says. It's an urgency of telling us and warning us that these things are going to happen and these things must happen in order for him to set up his new kingdom before he comes back. And so this urgency, this desire, I think a lot of churches have lost this desire or this urgency in their lives. And then the church has lost their urgency to want to explain this to other people who are lost. Does that make sense to you? I mean, I want to tell somebody, listen, I want to encourage you, but this is urgent. If you don't get yourself right with Christ, these things are going to happen. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to get way out in the bushes here. But Jesus, in verse 29, he says, he told them this parable. He said, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they sprout leaves, you can see for yourselves and know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly, I tell you, the generation will certainly not pass away until these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. Be careful. I want to stop right there. This thing about the fig tree. He said, when you see these things, I tell you that this generation will not pass. Well, when I think about all the things that are going on, you can think, okay, is this the generation? Is this that generation that will not pass? That will not pass before this happens? It could. It really could. This could be that generation. I don't know. Will it be my daughter's generation? Will it be my son's generation? See, and I wonder, you know, for 2,000 years since he told this to the disciples, is it that generation? I wonder if people thought that. Is it going to be this generation? Is it going to be this generation? Because there were wars. Look what happened in World War I. Look what happened in the Civil War. Look what happened in World War II. I mean, all these things that, you know, when Hitler was doing what he was doing over there in Germany and all that, people, there was a lot of people thought that that was it. This was it. But it wasn't it, was it? But that generation still hasn't passed yet. The World War II generation hasn't passed yet. We still have people from that generation still alive today. So it's not completely over. So is it possible? Yes, it is possible. I'm not one to say that tomorrow's the day and the date it's going to happen tomorrow. I'm not saying that. I hope you understand that. But that urgency of thinking that it could happen tomorrow is what I'm trying to get through to you tonight. That urgency of how we should disciple people, that urgency of how we should witness to people is all throughout the Scripture. Jesus is trying to say, you guys need to, you know, this is what it's about. I got to quit. I'm not done yet, though. Verse 34, it says, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down. Now, I want you to listen to this because I think this is very relevant with us today. It said, be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. And I think there's so many people caught up in that today. There's so many people caught up in that today that they're so tied up. And I don't mean being drunk all the time or that, but it's just the world. It's just so tied up in all the stuff that's going on in the world. Because you know what? We got to have a job. We got to feed our families. We got to have a certain amount of income. We got to have all this, but yet all that stuff becomes a trap sometimes for people. And it absorbs your whole entire life because then you get tied up with, well, I need to do this. Well, then I got to have insurance. Well, I got to have a truck to drive. Well, then you got car payments, and then you got this, and then you get so strapped down with all this stuff going on in the world, it suddenly closes in on you. And next thing you know, you wake up and you're like, where'd all the time go? Where'd all the time go? I've been focused so many years on this. You get what I'm saying? And sometimes it's not about money. Sometimes it's all about having fun. You spend that time out there doing, running and going on vacation and doing all these things. And I'm not saying going on vacation is bad. I'm not saying that at all. I wish I could have one of these days. But it gets you trapped and focused somewhere else, away from what we should be focused on. And like I said this morning, when Kathy had told me Christians need to start being Christians, that really stuck with me. It really did. It really stuck with me because she's absolutely right. We got to start being Christians. We got to start being the church. And that goes along with this urgency that Jesus is telling his disciples, look, these things are going to happen. And you need to warn people about it. I'm not going to be here all the time, but I'm going to give you all these words. It's here for a reason. And then he says, be careful. Be careful. Don't get all tied up in the anxieties of life. Because we got a lot of stuff to worry about, don't we? I'm not alone. I know I'm not. I worry about this. I worry about my insurance. I worry about my house. I worry about, you know, I get these anxieties sometimes. And I'm like, and then you read the Scripture and it says, don't worry about these things. I'll take care of you. Yeah, He will. He'll take care of you. He said He would. Say, I'll take care of the birds. You know, I take care of them. Why wouldn't I take care of you? You're more important than the birds. But yet, we have this tendency to get these anxieties and get all this worry, and it starts building up, and then it leads to other things. Verse 36, be always on your watch. Let me go back. I think I missed the Scripture here. Verse 35, for it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. So don't think you're going to be excluded from this. Be always on the watch and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen. See that urgency? All that is about to happen, he's telling them. And that you may be able to stand before the Son of Man. Man, one of these days we're all going to have to stand before God and take an account for all the things that we've done, every word that we've said, whether it's good or bad. We're going to all stand there, each and every one of us. And we're going to give an account for what we did. God knows who we've witnessed to, who we haven't witnessed to. He knows all the good things that you've done. He knows all the bad things that you've done. You know, and He's forgiven me of my sins. He's forgiven me of all those things, so I know I can stand. If I live for Him, I know I can stand in front of Him and know that I'm forgiven. I know that because of what He did for me. Amen? He died on the cross for me so that I could not have to worry when I stand before Him. But He's still going to judge me. I'm still going to have to stand before Him. But it's either going to be one way or the other. And we know the Scripture. It's either going to say, welcome, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, for I never knew you. And those are the words that are going to be said. And, of course, there's a lot of mysteries there. There's a lot of things we don't know what's going to be said. But one thing I do know this, is there are rewards also as well, it says. And He's going to reward those who have done well. Are you confident tonight? I got to say this. I mean, when you really search your soul, because only you know this. I don't know this. The person sitting next to you don't know it. Your husband don't know it. Your wife doesn't know it. You only know it. That you can stand, you know for a fact, if Jesus called you home, if He came back tomorrow, and if He gathered you up and you were standing in front of Him, you know without a shadow of a doubt that you can say, I'm confident I'm going to heaven and He will judge me well. And that's the question we have to ask ourselves. And you are the only one that knows that. You're the only one that knows that. I know I am going to heaven. I know that He saved me. I know it. Verse 37, it says, each day Jesus went teaching at the temple, and each evening He went out to spend the night on the hill called the Mount of Olives. And all the people came early in the morning to hear Him at the temple. And then I'm going to stop right there, because then it goes into where Judas, goes and he agrees to betray Jesus, and this is leading up to the Last Supper. Excuse me. And tonight, we're going to take communion. And I wanted to speak these words, because these are the words that Jesus spoke just right before the Last Supper. Right before we hear that Judas was going to betray Him. And then it goes into that. Right after that, chapter 22, we come to the Last Supper, when He asked His disciples to come and meet Him in the upper room. And so tonight we're gonna take communion, but I want you to think about these words that Jesus spoke to His disciples just prior to this, and why would He wait till then to speak these words to Him to them, but I think He wanted to place this urgency in what was to come. He was getting ready to go through all this. And he was teaching His disciples. He was giving them these last little bits before this was going to happen. And anyway, I hope this spoke to your hearts tonight.